before we get into your business. So I don't know who will start between you, Kamo, or Sean. Who wants to start about themselves, what they're studying, or where they work, or all those kind of things?
Oh, yeah. I can start.
Okay. Yeah, Kamo can start.
Yeah.
All right.
I am a UWC student currently studying BCom in economics and finance. I'm currently doing my second year. And yeah, fun fact, I can recite the alphabet from Z all the way to A.
Wow. That's nice. Nice to meet you, Kamo. Sean?
My name is Sean Nguyenya. An aspiring, can I say aspiring entrepreneur? I was studying a BCom in economics the previous year, but due to finances and family problems, I decided to take a full turn and take a break for 2 years and focus on my business and push that. So that's currently who I am right now. I do work part-time though, with a company called Lifebelt Solutions. And I think I'm a budding young man who just loves opportunities and who's very grateful for learning stuff all the time. I just love research and finding out new stuff that I've never known before.
That's good. So today we're going to talk about your guys' business. Firstly, I don't know how to pronounce it. Do you guys want to help me with the pronunciation of your business?
This is the part that we love the most. So show us what you have.
Let's hear what you have.
I read sweets. That's what I'm reading.
Okay, that's not a bad attempt. No, that's not a bad attempt. You have heard worse. But that's the whole point. That's the whole point. You wanted the tongue twister, so you at least memorable. It's sweets.
Sweets, but that's what
sweets,
I said.
Yeah, like
sweets. Oh, sweets. Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's memorable. Trust. So tell me about sweets. Like, how did it come to be? What problem were you guys trying to solve? Let's start there. What problem were you trying to solve when you came up with this business solution?
Look, I'm sure I answer. Are you gonna answer?
Yeah, you can go ahead, my guy.
Okay, cool. So when you started Sweets, basically it started from a personal thing, right? Because I think this is for me personally my second let's say, like I call them my babies. So this is my second baby, right? Which is a second business that I'm doing in the past 2 years. And when I started Sheets, it was a thing of a personal need again, where I noticed that in actual fact, like the beginning of it all was that just like I was at home and I have little sisters and like a mom who like comes back with sweets every single day, you know? So I started making the maths in my head and I was like, yo, dude. And they always ask me to drive out to go fetch the sweets in the garage at night, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I had to go buy them sweets in the mornings. Also, sometimes before they leave, they ask us to pass by the garage and get them sweets. So I was like, actually, this is a lot of money. Like the traveling and going there and coming back, you know, it would be much easier if they just could be delivered to your doorstep. Right, every time you think you order, because everything else is doing that. Like clothing is on that pathway. Getting the laptops, whatever you buy now can be delivered to your door. Besides sweets, right? Even the groceries now also come with them. That was the first step, right? Just the concept of sweets itself, and the solving of the problem of the luxury was. Once I realized that there is a market and I actually want to get into it, the thing then became that we have had a certain type, especially in South Africa as a context, we've had a certain type of three, four main players who've played in the game and have given us the exact same thing of taste over and over again. And we've never had innovation or growth in the market itself. We've seen, in a sense, comfortability coming from the big players, right? So I just realized that in actual fact, these big companies have been very complacent because they're at a point where they're big enough in the market and they don't feel like they need to be innovative. They've just been giving out the same thing for years. Because I asked a friend, a couple of friends, that how long have they been eating Jelly Babies? Since we were all kids. And we mentioned one flavor that came and went, which is the sour jelly beans, I think. I don't know if you remember that also.
Yeah.
Right? And we had those also. Yeah?
Do they no longer sell those?
No, not anymore.
Oh.
I haven't seen any in a while. I think I lost some when I was like 15, 16. Well, have you seen any? Have you seen any like recently?
I haven't even noticed. That's why I'm asking. Like, I haven't even paid attention to notice whether they've been like available.
They've been out there or not. Yeah. Yes. So that's another thing also. In that, right, I think food is like the biggest thing that we, because we are what we eat, right? And again, that what you do, a statement that you said that you didn't even notice. So I think we're taking advantage of as a people, because in the market we just but sweets are just sweets. You just buy sweets and they're just sweets. And I saw a gap there because there is an experience that is being missed out, because there's no one who doesn't have a childhood memory without sweets inside it.
Yeah.
Right. But then as you grow older, now you lose out on this memory because there is no experience attached to it in the brands that sell this thing themselves, because to them it's just a thing of you're just selling sweets, and now people just, there's no novelty to it. So I saw that gap, and that's why we decided to premium, to be like, to make a premium brand and actually bring in the experience with sweets, so you can have a memorable effect. So if you're a child and you're now 45 and you still want to enjoy sweets, if you've been eating them since you were 13, you still have the experience of, you know, I've had these since I was a kid and I actually like them because they've grown with me. The brand has grown with me. I've seen what they've done for the environment, stuff like that, which is how every other companies are going for. The Teslas in the big markets, even as far as luxury brands like Louis Vuitton's are going for that stance of saying, we have been around for certain years and this is the experience that we give you guys. Yes, we sell clothes, but we're giving you guys an experience with our clothing.
Yeah.
That you can hold on to for a long time. Whereas with sweets, it's just like, it's just sweets. You understand? And it's just confectionery. It's just. Whereas in actual fact, I think it's one of the most important things because we snack all the time. So that was the second problem that we started solving, which was the novelty, the lack of novelty. And also just like the delivery systems, which is just making it come to you faster and moving into digital space. There's a third one. Because all sweets, I think at the point we were doing our research, close to 95% of sweets were sold physically. And they were sold as a secondary, like a secondary item, which means that you buy anything else first and then sweets become the second thing. And you're just like, okay, just going to pick up by the till.
Right? Yeah.
And that's where the concept was born. That in actual fact, man, we think, you know, this is a very great market and we should be the first thing you think of when you go into the stores. What should be the first thing you think of when you go online and find the websites? And so we decided to also make, that's what the problem that we solved, which is digitalization of the market itself. So these are the main ones that we solved.
So how do you guys make those sweets? How's the production look like?
Right now, in terms of production, with the sweets themselves, right, we don't make any of them ourselves, right? So to keep costs low and to also help us at startup, we've actually decided to liaise with suppliers who already make them and who can also specialize in making us artisanal sweets that we want.
So in the long run, do you want to be able to do it for yourself in the long run?
Yes, that's the whole goal, to actually, the big goal is to actually bring the sweet market in terms of like factories or like production into South Africa itself, because we're a big market ourselves. But most of the sweets that we eat are shipped in from Turkey, which makes most of the world's sweets in the world. Right? So we think because of that, we actually want to bring it in. And besides that, we want to tap into other markets where we can produce ourselves, because we've never seen certain types of sweets. Like, we want to bring in, the biggest thing is the sugarless sweets, which is tapping into like the health markets, wanted no gluten and whatever, but still has the taste, still has, you know, the enjoyment and the experience, but now they have, they can, we cannot tap into the health market where people are health conscious or lactose intolerant, the gluten intolerance, and they can be fine and still enjoy sweets in a certain way, shape, or form. Right. So we want to move into that space also in the future.
Definitely. I like the fact that you mentioned health market. The program that we were doing is social entrepreneurship empowerment. And we said any business really. So there should be an element of social enterprise in that. And I think the health market is one of the ways in which you do it. You make a difference into the society that we haven't really seen sweets that are like called healthy sweets or all kinds of things like sugarless and all of that. So do you guys think about the element of the social entrepreneurship in your whole business strategy besides like the health market?
Social entrepreneurship, where do you want to answer that? Kamu? Is Kamu still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just having network issues.
Sorry?
See, I'm still here. I'm just having network issues. The campus Wi-Fi is unreliable.
Okay, so my question was on the social enterprise side. What kind of change are you bringing? So I like the fact that you guys mentioned health market. Maybe you can elaborate on that if that's the element that links to social entrepreneurship.
Okay. I can answer, Kamu, if you still have an issue.
Yeah,
I think you still have an issue, so I'll answer. It's fine.
Okay.
Okay. So on that end, we in terms of social entrepreneurship are planning on making seats accessible to everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And well, by me everyone, I mean we've actually partnered up with a dietitian who studied certain level of like sweets and every not certain level of sweets of food and the effects that it has on your body. So you actually want to go into getting sweets where people have even stuff, even like sicknesses like diabetes. Right. Mm-hmm. Because people do have sugars already for them. So we're trying to develop things that go into that and not just sweets, right? Because as I said, and that's why I don't like using the word sweets anymore. We are saying confectionery because we want to go into the confectionery space.
Okay.
So we want to just make snacks that are that are healthy to have. We want to make drinks that are healthy to drink. You know, because for example, Coca-Cola, like a normal Coke, has around about 7 to 10 blocks of sugar, like a 330 milliliter.
Yeah.
Of Coke has like in that, and we want to actually develop products that are feasible for the person who has been taken out of the market because they have a certain illness or a certain sickness, right? Because we don't believe that they should be taken, their jaws should be taken away from them. I think they should also still experience life, although they have certain illnesses. The main one being diabetes, because they've been cut out from eating certain stuff and whatnot. But we're trying to develop ways to find, to involve them back into the markets. And that's what we want to change. We want to make the confectionery industry healthy. That's how we want to bring. We want to bring it back so people can actually enjoy it, whether or not you're on a diet or whether or not you're gymming. Because now every time we have experiences of being health conscious, confectionery is put aside as a problem or something that's going to stop you from achieving your goals or whatever. But there's certain stuff that we know that is healthy, that is very like good for people. Like popcorn is a good snack for a person to have, you know. So we're pushing certain stuff like that. So that's our goal, just to bring health back into the confectionery industry. And bring our hearts back into the confectionery industry. Because right now, the confectionery industry has no soul. They just want to sell to the consumers, and as long as they buy, they don't care what effects it has on the person in the long run.
That's good. Okay. So what is your marketing strategy so far? Like, where are you selling this product? How do you go about marketing your product?
So right now, we were selling it on our website because we have our website up.
Okay,
And
what's the website?
it's www.sheets.co.za. I'm sure if you just Google Sheets, you'll find us. I hope our USP works properly, but I think it does. If you just Google Sheets, and I think it should be there, www.sheets.co.za.
And then when a person orders from your website, then how does it work? Do you deliver around
So as
the
soon as they make
country?
an order, we get the order on our side, and so does courier guy, and then they let us know when they're gonna come and pick up. It's usually in a day. They come and pick up the next day, and then they come in and make the delivery to you directly. I'm sure courier guy sends you an email also to let you know where you can track your parcel as to how far it is.
So you guys partnered with a courier company for that.
Courier guy, yeah, that's the community point on a bit,
Oh,
and you
that's
get the
great part.
emails on all ends. As if you're getting a package like on a normal basis. You get all the emails of those way packages, and you can track your parcel also. And you've had the plugin now.
That's nice. But then my other question was what's the marketing strategy? Like, where
Yeah,
do
the marketing side. Oh,
market?
sorry, I was supposed to answer that. So now, in all honesty, because of the lack of funds, we were using. First was word of mouth. Secondly was our social media ads. I'd rather speak on our desired marketing strategy, because the real reason why we need the investments is to actually get into our desired marketing strategy. Because right now what we've been using is word of mouth mostly, and social media to an extent. But even then, I don't think we've done it properly to a point where we wanted to go. So I'd rather speak of our desired word our desired marketing strategy, which is in actual fact, what we want to do is present the suites, because it's a premium brand, as that brand, and present the lifestyle around the brand, right? As to open up to the market. And our main objective is to hit so like modern day social medias, which are the biggest ones, are your Instagram, your Facebooks, Twitters, and then your YouTube also, and you want to hit those spaces. Let's say what's the word? Non-mainstream ways of marketing, right? Because we want to get, because we believe that our people are in our people aren't watching TV anymore. Like they're watching podcasts on YouTube, you know, they're scrolling to TikTok on a random day at work. Those are that's where our market is. So we want to get into their faces like that to push that. And the how we want to be perceived as soon as you get into their faces is as a premium brand that is bringing change socially, as I mentioned, was like we're trying to be a health conscious brand, and also change in terms of like now we are curating a brand that has a certain level of exclusivity, which I believe has not been seen in the conventional industry as of yet. Because we've seen pretty much premium brands before, like your Lindt, right? Like that blue chocolate and whatever. But we've never seen, we know Lindt does chocolate, but we've never seen a brand in confectionery. So that's what we're trying to build the most, where now you can actually associate yourself to a way of being through what you eat.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So from what I'm taking is that you guys don't are still trying to get into social media marketing, right?
Yeah, no,
Or
we do have we do no we do have pages up. We just haven't done it to the extent that we want. We do our we have all the social media pages. We do have a couple of posts up, but we do have also a certain amount of followers on our TikTok. I think 1,000 on our TikTok, I think 2,000 on Instagram. Our Pinterest is low. Our YouTube has like 100 subscribers. So we do have a certain amount of people, but we just haven't. And as that's why I said, which we haven't done it to our satisfaction because we've been held back by funding. But we do have certain amounts of stuff up. But in all honesty, it's not something that I would say we are like in completely proud of. But we've done it, and we do have it up. You can check us out on Instagram, on I think on every social media platform: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube,
You guys got it.
TikTok, even Pinterest.
Okay. So you mentioned investments and funding. So when or if someone is interested in investing into the business, what is it that the business actually really needs? Like, why is there a need of funding? What is it for?
Okay, so there's two main needs for us in terms of funding, right? We don't really need funding for infrastructure in terms of getting equipment or whatnot, because we've actually found a way in the business, and the way that we do our business is to cut the cost of all of that startup cost, which would normally be rent, you know, buying equipment, hiring employees or whatever. We've cut those costs by hiring money, by thinking it out, subcontracting out basically to our suppliers, right? So what we do the most is package on our side. And to be honest with you, for now, I think we do have a place where we can package, and we don't really need that much of a big space. So because of that, we've cut the cost there, and we would like to invest those costs rather instead of in what normally would be invested in, conventionally be invested in, we'd rather actually invest it in mostly marketing, right? And secondly, just upfront packaging purchases, right? Which is because in terms of marketing, because we are a new brand, one. Secondly, and also we are a premium brand. We need to make sure that we control the consensus around ourselves as a brand. And because of that, we need to produce certain level of quality marketing, quality videos, and capture our people from the beginning of us doing these campaigns that we do throughout the end, and keep on educating them. That's the base that we have to invest in, is actually customer education on who we are and what we stand for. Because we are building a culture, which is like a brand more than anything else, right? A subculture through food. So we need to do that. We need to invest in that a lot. And then the second thing would be the purchasing of packaging, right? So that's a cost to us, because packaging has a large lead time, which is close to 3 weeks. So as with the stuff we need to package, there's not much of a large lead time. We don't really mind. We can, like, as soon as we get an order, we can just go, we can order onto the supplier side and make it happen. But with the packaging, we do need the upfront, because it's to a certain extent, right? And there is a cost to it with certain amounts. But to be honest, we've tried taking it up to an extent, but now we actually realize that no, we actually need investment to do this properly. Because we could get an influx of orders and we couldn't be able to fulfill them. And now we've lost out on customers who are saying they want their money back and stuff like that. And now we're again losing the brand credibility, which we are actually working so hard to build. And we can't stand to lose that, as I said, because we have to be creating a subculture through food. So everything that we do has to be on par. From the time the person gets on the website to the time they receive their order and have their first bite, it should be 100%.
Definitely. So just some notes that I've been like noting as well, with in terms of your enterprise. We had like about 5 different sessions on social enterprise, but it actually like goes through any other business, because in this program we're taking all, you know, different businesses and trying to find an element of social enterprise in them. And one important thing in a business is that you need to start with what you have before you can go out there and ask for help or all of that. I like the fact that you guys have started and are doing something now, but you need to push with, you know, the little resources that you guys have. That's what brings the investors' interest into your business, because they understand that they won't be losing anything, right, if they now invest into your business. And secondly, it is important to, you don't have to take, you know, it's what quantity and quality. I'm not sure the saying, but that speaks about like that quality is much better than quantity. It's much better for you guys to serve 2 customers than strive to serve 20 customers when you don't have the capacity to serve 20 customers. So rather at this point in your business, know how many people that you guys can be able to serve. That also saves your credibility, as you've mentioned. Yeah, it saves your credibility as a business, because now as an investor, when coming in, they're going to ask, what's your credibility? You know, what's happening with your business? And it's important that, you know, you have customers that are coming back, you know, in a monthly basis or in whatever regular basis, if I can put it that way. So that is quite important. I have another question. Let me quickly just
check. While looking for that question, thank you for the pointers. I think they're very valid points.
Yeah. So what are your, I think you mentioned, you know, the need, where you need the funds and all of that, but what are the main challenges and opportunities for your business?
The main challenges would be basically what I mentioned at first, is that like because we want to go into we are a premium brand, we do need to invest a lot in advertising, and that costs money to actually produce proper, or let's say up to par content. Right, so that's the biggest challenge that we're facing in terms of the business itself. Because in terms of growth, and in terms of like even just word of mouth or people coming in and enjoying the products themselves, I don't think we face any challenges in that. Right, that's the biggest challenge for us is actually being able to convey ourselves as we want. Right, which is, I said, the customer education of coming in and showing them and telling people who we are, and right. Also, the other challenge is dealing with, as I said, with the packaging, it's dealing with suppliers, right? Because even if we negotiate to certain prices, which we have done before, where we can negotiate with suppliers to give us a certain amount of stock, right? Mm-hmm. For example, if they quote us for 1,000 pieces, and we say, okay, cool, we'll pay for 100 pieces right now, we'll come back and pay for the next 100 whenever we need the next 100, right? Mm-hmm. And because of that, we've had challenges with suppliers. They're like, okay, if you're going to order just 100, which is below MOQ, we're going to have to charge you a certain amount as if you are only ordering 100. So it brings up our costs, whereas we're ordering less, right? Which for business would make smarter sense to just get the higher order, even if it's not too high, judging from our cash flow and how much and how many people are ordering on a monthly basis. And it also makes it easier to like order in advance, because we, those things are non-perishable.
Yeah.
They won't expire anything, so they can sit there and whatnot. So those are the two biggest challenges that we faced. And in terms of opportunities, we have a very, very great opportunity of growing and taking the market by storm, I believe. Because this one, we don't think, I haven't seen this being done by anyone. I've seen it done in certain industries by certain companies, but not in this industry that we're going into. And that's why we picked it, so that we could actually be the standouts. And again, this is an industry where as I've mentioned before, that it's a very complacent industry where everyone has just been like, it's just confectionery. No one really thinks about it twice or anything. It's just confectionery, right? Where brands don't stand. But now, from researching markets and the people right now, everyone lives brands, right? Everyone has a brand. People use iPhone, have a brand, because the iPhone users, they have a certain brand. People who wear Nike have a certain brand. People who buy New Balance have a certain brand. Everyone has a certain brand and a lifestyle that they convey. And the missing elements of that lifestyle is confectionery, which is what they eat. So we have a big opportunity to get into that and actually be that missing key, right? And show the people that we're here, and whatever culture that you identify with, now you can identify with us also. And then also another opportunity is, this is not even an opportunity in terms of like making more money. This is a personal opportunity, right? I really think for me personally, this is just the piece that I see personally, that if we hit certain amounts of targets, the amounts of change that we could bring within South Africa itself, looking at the markets that we have right now, right? Because we have the potential to be shipping our confectionery or even our brand overseas. I think we could fight with them that side, right? With the content that we have. We might not be as big as everyone else, but we can be in the markets themselves.
Yes.
Right? And because of that, that allows us to create jobs inland, in terms of us. Because we have to produce the sweets, we have to produce the packaging, and we have to package the stuff and send it out to whatever country this is being sent to, right? And I think because of that, we can, there's a lot of opportunity to make jobs. And with the 60% youth unemployment, I think we do need a certain level of change. And I believe that this company can do that for a lot of people.
That's great. That's great. And what would be the point where you say we've reached success? What is your success point for this business?
For this business, it's 2 points, right? Because we have a 5-year plan, right? And at the end of the 5-year plan, we would have opened two actual like confectionery stores where we don't sell out of, but we have restaurants where people can come and pick up their sweets and their confectionery, right? Creating like an exclusive restaurant, so to say, for members that we have. It'll be that. That would be one of those points. Secondly, it would be a point where we have, we actually are feeding at least 1,000 families, which is at least 1,000 factory workers, right, in producing on a daily basis. And we can afford to do that because of our demand that we've created in the market. And we actually are called to doing that. I think those are the two key points for me. We start producing, and I also wouldn't, and even with the like with the factories themselves, it would be a great, great thing for me to start even producing for other companies, right? It doesn't have to be us. So if there's another Sean out there who has a thought of creating a brand or creating sweets or whatever, he doesn't have to go through what I went through of struggling and fighting. It can be an easy thing for him to have the connection to come in and just be like, I have this idea. Can I try it? And let's try it and let's see what he has to do.
That's beautiful. Okay, so I think we've said everything that I've asked everything that I needed to ask. I just want to give you, I want to see how you're going to do. I want to give you 30 seconds to pitch your business. Like you're meeting a person for the first time and they ask you about your business. And I want you in 30 seconds, I'm going to put a timer, in 30 seconds to tell them what your business is about, because I think it's important most of the time, not most of the time, but all the time, that as business owners or as entrepreneurs, we need to be able to pitch our business as quick as possible. Like we need to we need to grab their attention as quick as possible. So I'm gonna set a timer on 30 seconds. And we're going to start now.
Start now.
Yeah. Okay. Let me start over.
Okay. Cool. No, sorry. No, just because you said you're going to start now.
Are you ready?
You let me know.
Are you ready?
Do like a 3, 2, 1, and then I'll go.
Are you ready?
Please do like a 3, 2, 1, then 3. I'll go. I'm so sorry because you said start now. And I was like, now. Like,
okay.
So sorry.
3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Okay. Hi. My name is Sean Nguyenya. I have a company called Sheets and Co. Right. We produce confectionery, and we are going to produce the biggest. We're going to be the biggest confectionery brand in the world. Right. And I want you to invest in our premium brand because we are going to premiumize and bring Louis Vuitton and Gucci into the food space, and we are going to be that company. We're going to revolutionize this thing, and all we need is you to get where we need to go. So please, come with us. Support us, and we will go where we need to go, and we will take over the world.
Time's up, but that's good.
That was hard.
Yeah, so that's something that you need to work on.
Definitely. Thank you. I've never done it before.
Yeah, so you need to be able to catch your investors' attention immediately, because most of the time, investors don't want to hear like long-winded conversations. They just want to hear, what are you doing? How are you doing it? And how can I help? That's all. What are you doing? How are you doing? Is that what you're doing? And how can they help you with
achieving? I'll take those points. Thank you so much.
Achieving your goals. Okay, so I think we're done now. Any last words or remarks that you want to leave?
For me, man, just thank you for the opportunity and taking your time. I know you've been busy because Virgo Gamu's been telling me that you've been trying to schedule with us and everything. Thank you for that. And thank you for the opportunity itself. And I'm just to say thank you. And I love the pointers, and I'm gonna take them and run. Right. And I hope we can actually meet again and like actually have a conversation again. Maybe now my 30 seconds can be a lot better because that was tough. that was really tough. But thank you. Just a thank you for everything. And yeah. This was also like very eye opening. Now I feel more confident.
Yeah.
Just have my 30 seconds. I feel more confident about what we're doing here. So And also just to open it up. With me, I don't know if you come and share you my email. I think I'm gonna share my work email. Right. So you can email me anytime if you have any thoughts, because I'm one person who loves as I mentioned, that learning new stuff. So if you have any thoughts about the business itself or like any remarks or anything, please just let me know so we can just discuss it, and I can actually see, because I'm a very curious person.
Definitely.
And you've sparked my curiosity now, so I need to know.
Definitely. I'll be taking, I took notes as we were speaking, so I'll definitely give you guys a feedback as well, detailed feedback over the email or text, whatever the case could, but I'll give like a feedback on, what else. But also this video as well, we'll try like do it properly and then, put it out there.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Although Kamu was quiet because of his network, but I'm glad I got to meet you.
No problem. Thank you so much, Sean. I'm going to
stop. Thank you so much. How do you, how do you, and I,